I went down to the little port, if I may use the expression, wherein his vessel used to lay, and conversed with the cottager who had the care of it. You may smile, but I have my pleasure in thus helping my personification of the individual I admire by attaining to the knowledge of those circumstances which were daily around him. I have made numerous inquiries in the town concerning him, but can learn nothing. He only went into society there once, when Mr. Pictet took him to the house of a lady to spend the evening. They say he is a very singular man, and seem to think him very uncivil. Amongst other things they relate, that having invited Mr. Pictet and Bonstetten to dinner, he went on the lake to Chillon, leaving a gentleman who traveled with him to receive them and make his apologies. Another evening, being invited to the house of Lady D.H., he promised to attend, but upon approaching the windows of her ladyship's villa, and perceiving the room to be full of company, he set down his friend, desiring him to please excuse, and immediately returned home. This will serve as a contradiction to the report which John tell me is current in England, of his having been avoided by his countrymen on the continent. The case happens to be directly the reverse, as he has been generally sought by them, though on most occasions, apparently without success. It is said, indeed, that upon paying his first visit at Coppet, following the servant who had announced his name, he was surprised to meet a lady carried out fainting, but before he had been seated many minutes, the same lady, who had been so affected at the sound of his name, returned and conversed with him a considerable time. Such is female curiosity and affection. He visited Coppet frequently, and of course associated there with several of his countrymen, who evinced no reluctance to meet him, whom his enemies alone would represent as an outcast. Though I have been so unsuccessful in this town, I have been more fortunate in my enquiries elsewhere. There is a society 3 or 4 miles from Geneva, the center of which is the Countess of Bruce, a Russian lady, well acquainted with the agrément de la société, and who has collected them round herself at her mansion. It was chiefly here, I find, that the gentleman who traveled with Lord Byron, as physician, sought for society. He used almost every day to cross the lake by himself in one of their flat-bottomed boats, and returned after passing the evening with his friends, about 11 or 12 at night, often whilst the storms were raging in the circling summits of the mountains around. As he became intimate, from long acquaintance, with several of the families in this neighborhood, I have gathered from their accounts some excellent traits of his lordship's character, which I will relate to you at some future opportunity. I must, however, free him from one imputation attached to him, of having in his house 2 sisters as the partakers of his revels. This is, like many other charges which have been brought against his lordship, entirely destitute of the truth. His only companion was the physician I have already mentioned. The report originated from the following circumstance. Mr. Percy Bysshe Shelley, a gentleman well known for extravagance of doctrine, and for his daring, in their profession, even to sign himself with the title of Atheos in the album at Chamuni, having taken a house below, in which he resided with Miss M.W. Godwin and Miss Claremont, the daughters of the celebrated Mr. Godwin. They were frequently visitors at Diodati, and were often seen upon the lake with his lordship, which gave rise to the report, the truth of which is here positively denied. Among other things which the lady from whom I procured these anecdotes related to me, she mentioned the outline of a ghost story by Lord Byron. It appears that one evening, Lord B., Mr. P. B. Shelley, the 2 ladies, and the gentleman before alluded to, after having perused a German work, which was entitled Phantasmagoriana, began relating ghost stories. When his lordship, having recited the beginning of Christabel, then unpublished, the whole took so strong a hold of Mr. Shelley's mind that he suddenly started up and ran out of the room. The physician and Lord Byron followed, and discovered him leaning against the mantelpiece, with cold drops of perspiration trickling down his face. After having given him something to refresh him, upon inquiring into the cause of his alarm, they found that his wild imagination having pictured to him the bosom of one of the ladies with eyes, which was reported of a lady in the neighborhood where he lived, he was obliged to leave the room in order to destroy the impression. It was afterwards proposed, in the course of conversation, that each of the company present should write a tale depending upon some supernatural agency, which was undertaken by Lord B., the physician, and Miss M.W. Godwin. My friend, the lady above referred to, had in her possession the outline of each of these stories. I obtained them as a great favor, and herewith forward them to you, as I was assured you would feel as much curiosity as myself to peruse the debauches of so great a genius and those immediately under his influence.
The Vampire. Introduction.
The superstition upon which this tale is founded is very general in the East. Among the Arabians it appears to be common. It did not, however, extend itself to the Greeks until after the establishment of Christianity, and it has only assumed its present form since the division of the Latin and Greek churches, at which time did the idea becoming prevalent that a Latin body could not corrupt if buried in their territory. It gradually increased and formed the subject of many wonderful stories, still extant, of the dead rising from their graves and feeding upon the blood of the young and beautiful. In the West it spread with some slight variation all over Hungary, Poland, Austria, and Lorraine, where the belief existed that vampires nightly imbibed a certain portion of the blood of their victims, who became emaciated, lost their strength, and speedily died of consumptions, whilst these human bloodsuckers fattened, and their veins became distended to such a state of repletion as to cause the blood to flow from all the passages of their bodies, and even from the very pores of their skins.